pod, babies, pod people, and inhabitants of the planet Earth. It is I, your tiki leader, Steve Mudflap McGrew, coming live from the hotel room here at the MGM Grand Las Vegas, where we are playing this week at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club. And I am lucky enough to have as my guest, and this is really fun because it's been a month since I've done a podcast, might be over a month, and I try to do one every week. So you're actually, the pressure is on. The pressure is on. So please welcome my guest and fellow comedian, Kristen Key.
Hi.
How are you?
Wonderful.
Thanks for agreeing to do this.
I'm happy to be your first back after your hiatus.
Yeah, and thanks for not killing the microphone.
Yeah. If I stroke it ever so gently, it'll burst into tears.
Ah, so how many times have you worked Brad's club?
Seven. 6 or 7.
It's a great club.
A few times a year. Yeah. Oh my God, it's marvelous.
People always ask what I like about working Vegas, and I will ask you the same thing. What do you like about working Vegas?
I only work this room. So I would say, I mean, I like the suite they put us in. I like the 7 days. We have good food. We have a great green room. I only work one show a night. You work with great comics.
Sounds amazing,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, everybody should work Vegas. But yeah, only this room. I've heard horror stories about
other rooms
other
in Vegas.
Comedy clubs, yeah.
True. Now, let's get a little background on you. Now, what got you into comedy? Where do you think at the very, very earliest age you went, I think I want to do funny stuff?
You know, my dad's a minister, so we weren't allowed to watch, like, bad language TV. So probably Bill Cosby himself, that special.
Uh-huh.
I saw that and I thought, oh, that'd be fun. But then when I was like 9 or 10, I said, oh, I want to be a stand-up comic when I grow up. And my dad said, oh, you don't want to play in bars, do you? I was like, no. He goes, yes, that's what you do. You'd be around people that drink. I'd be like, no. And so then at 19, a comedy club opened up in my hometown, and I really didn't care what
and
my parents thought
anymore.
I don't care.
Yeah. This is what I want to do.
Yeah, I tried an open mic night, and then I quit college the same week and started working for the club, doing telemarketing stuff. And then,
which club did you start?
It was called the Amarillo Comedy Club.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was it... What was his name?
Kelly Moran.
Kelly Moran. That was after. I did, it was called...
Jollies.
Jollies in Amarillo, and then they came along after.
Mm-hmm.
That club was around for a while, wasn't it?
Like 6 years, yeah, until Kelly died.
Oh, yeah.
And then they shut it down. But yeah, it was a great club in its day. We had, I mean, Carl LeBeau came out and played it. We had Jimmy Schubert. All these guys that Kelly played with in Los Angeles would come out and do it. He would give them a decent rate.
Yeah, I did it once. When it first,
did you really?
Yeah, when it first opened.
Huh.
And I remember because it was like a big bar. It was like, was it like a downtown old building?
Yeah, it was an old storefront. It used to be a dress shop. And so it had the big storefront windows.
Yeah.
And you go in and they had a stage on the left and just a big, big room. And they had half of it was non-smoking and half was smoking, but there was no wall in between.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing was just...
That was kind of the same thing of the old airplane days of the back of the plane is no smoking. What keeps the smoke out of the front part?
It feels like smoking.
Man, we flew on a plane to Hawaii just recently that was so old, it still had ashtrays in the arm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that would make you nervous. When a plane is that old...
It's a crapshoot. You're like, one of these days, it's going to be one of us.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I wouldn't rent a Winnebago to drive across the country that still had ashtrays. Matter of fact, I'm worried about cars that still have cassette players in them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't see a lot of that anymore.
I haven't been in one in a long time. Well, maybe, no, not even a cab.
Some of them don't even have CD players anymore. They're just all USB, auxiliary, Bluetooth.
That's fancy.
Is that what you drive, one of those kind of?
No, I have an auxiliary. I have a CD player. And I never know what CD to put in because I haven't used a CD in... Like, I got to go dig for a CD.
You're not one of those people that just has a standard CD in there all the time? Like, this one just stays in there?
No, well, I had my friend's...
The Best of Bread
My friend's comedy CD that they gave me, and so that only stayed in for about 3 tracks. And then, I mean... Good friend, but...
Well,
like,
good. Now I know not to give you my CD.
Yeah.
I'll listen to at least three tracks
before I pop that out.
Yeah. Don't you hate that, though, when somebody... Like, I've had bands, like, hey, would you listen to my... And you're like, okay, yeah, you know, yeah. And then about halfway through the first song, you're like, I don't know if I can make it through the rest of this.
Yeah, I wonder what's on the radio right now. Honestly, I mean, I'm attention, you know, I got other things in my mind. I don't want to listen to the same anything for that long. I'll probably get through a whole album in like a week, you know, a song here.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to sit down and listen to anybody do anything for it. I can't even, I just record a live album. They send it to me to listen to. I get through about three tracks. I was like, ugh.
You don't even like your own album. No. I know. I'm the same way. I've recorded several albums and DVDs, and when I go back and listen to them later, because I'm happy when they're done, you think, oh, great show.
Yeah,
I'm
felt glad like a good set, yeah.
And then you listen to it and you go, ah, I stumbled over a couple of words. I said Russian instead of Russia. You know, I pick out little things like that.
You can't fix it. You can't go back and do it again.
No, but it's annoying to you.
Yeah. I hate all of them.
Well, who were your comedy influences growing up?
Let's see. Steve Martin. It was a big, so pretty much whoever my dad liked, my dad and my brother were the comedy fans, and I was just the little sister that kind of ran around listening to what they, so I got raised on Mel Brooks movies, and like, as for stand-up, it was Steve Martin and Bill Cosby, mm-hmm. and then my brother got into George Carlin, which was, you know, boom, your brain opens up.
Right.
And then for me, I saw female comics, like A&E's Evening at the Improv, when Rosie O'Donnell did that and Paula Poundstone.
Mm-hmm.
That was huge. I was like, oh, so women could do this too. And you get to wear a tie. So that's very exciting. So, which I don't wear a tie now, but.
Did you used to wear a tie?
No, I always wanted to. It's just things I always wanted to have was a mullet and a tie, you know, because I grew up in the 80s and it seemed so cool back then.
Uh-huh.
And then you get to a point where like, well, that's just not a thing.
But you can always bring it back. See, like.
I don't think I could, but you're like. My friends would love what you're doing right now because my friends, you should do it, Kristen, bring it back, because they just want to see me with a mullet and a tie. Go, I'm bringing it back.
Bring it
like,
back.
No,
yeah.
Not.
But
yeah.
Well, because everything, if you remember back in the 70s when Happy Days was on the air, it was about the 50s. And in the.
So I should retro it. Yeah.
See, it's going retro because every 20
tie,
years.
Big mullet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should bring it back.
Because it's the perfect time.
Pleated mom jeans just all the way. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could do this.
Oh. I remember one time on the radio in Denver when I was DJing, I made fun of mom jeans. I don't remember what the joke was. I just remember, but I remember getting a letter a couple days later from a woman berating me about how every time she sees her reflection now in her jeans, it makes her feel bad, and I'm a horrible person for pointing out. And
she keeps wearing the jeans, though.
Obviously, keeps wearing
every time I put on these jeans.
Jeans,
and I look in the mirror, I feel terrible about myself.
Yeah.
And then I put them on again the next day and feel terrible.
Yeah, and she even said in the letter how she saw her reflection in the glass door of the grocery store, and all she wanted to do was be mad at me. Be mad at me. How about be mad at you for putting them back on?
That's how I'm going to feel when I grow my mullet out. God damn it, Steve McGrew.
He said it was okay.
My mullet.
Yeah, well, look at me. I mean, I'm still holding on to, you know.
Do you dye your hair?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
We were sitting in the green room, and last night I asked Sam, and he goes, you should ask him. And then Brad came out, and he was like, what are you talking about? I said, I want to know if McGrew dyed his hair. He goes, you should ask him. I was like, I will. He goes, he does.
Brad said that? He does. Yeah. No, I've actually been dyeing my hair since the 80s.
What it look like? It looks good. I mean, it doesn't have the texture of dyed hair.
Oh, thank you.
You must condition.
I condition a lot, yeah.
Yeah, it looks really nice.
But I went through the period with the Elvis thing. You may have seen those big pompadour. And I
when you were on stage this night, we Googled you for a while.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
Well, I didn't. I hate to say Elvis because it was rockabilly to me.
It was more Rob Schneider is how we put it.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, to me, it was just that the rockabilly, Stray Cats kind of thing. And then everybody kept saying Elvis. And then I got a job playing Elvis in Dolly Parton's show, so it became this Elvis thing.
I saw a picture with you with Dolly.
Yeah.
Then we talked about that for about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Boy, I would love to meet her someday.
She's such an icon. You know, just a sheer icon.
It's one of those people that, you know, you think you could meet just about anybody, but if you met that person, you'd be starstruck.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what I would do. Yeah. I could probably sit down and have a whole conversation with Cher. And now you're like, oh, do you dye your hair? You know, but Dolly Parton.
Really? You think you do that? She's that big of an icon?
She's huge.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Like her and I can't think of anybody bigger than her, though. Yeah.
Is it we haven't brought this up, but I will say it, and I know you don't care. Is she a gay icon? Is that what the...
You know, I think she is for gay men. Gay women. I mean, I do like breasts, and she has, you know, so maybe that was it from childhood. Originally, like, wow, she's got the biggest boobies ever.
Someday maybe.
Someday I want to shake those boobies.
I actually have a picture of my son at 5 years old leaning on them.
That's amazing.
There, he's actually leaning like it's a, and I go, when we took the picture, I go, one day you'll appreciate this.
Does he appreciate it now?
No.
God. That's no. Huge.
Yeah, she had got down next, kneeled next to him to take a picture, and he was just like.
Of course she does. What are you doing with your kid? That's funny. I don't know what it is about her. I think I love her voice, and I love that she's a singer-songwriter.
Mm-hmm. That she does it all.
Yeah.
Actress.
Yeah. She's great. I can't even remember what it was back when I was a kid. I remember I used to have a Guinness Book of World Records in the bathroom when me and my brother were kids, and whatever year it was, like 86 or 87, it had in there who the top paid entertainers in the whole world were, and it was Bill Cosby and it was Dolly Parton. And I thought it was so cool that there was a woman, you know, right there with Bill Cosby.
I can do this. I can do it.
Yeah, you know.
I have a chance.
In the 80s, you don't think about what women can and can't do, but it kind of was a time where, oh, women don't do much. Especially in my hometown.
Like, really?
I grew up in a small town. Yeah, women didn't do much. Yeah.
See, I've never, I don't think I've ever been like that. I think it's one of the reasons in my political head, I've always seen equality. Mm-hmm. I've always, because my mom went to college. You know,
okay,
back in the day, and so I've always seen that as, hey, you can do
women
that.
You can do
and,
anything. Yeah.
Yeah, and she had a not really nice job until the kids came along, and then she was like, my job is to raise the children.
That's a great job.
You know what I mean? That's frowned upon now for somebody to go. I went to college, I had a good job, but I think I'd rather just stay home and raise the kids.
Ugh,
it's kind of frowned upon.
Is it? All my friends that had kids did that though. I don't know. Everybody, yeah, it's just like, well, I'm going to put this on the side for a second. Get them through what I don't know what age you're supposed to stop. I don't know what I would do. I would be horrible with kids.
So do you at least have animal kids? Do you have
dog
kids?
I have a fish, and I don't even know if it's alive half the time. I have to I ask my wife after like 4 or 5 days. I'm like, did you feed the fish? She's like, yes, I feed it every morning. I was like, okay.
Well, we kind of have the same thing. My girlfriend and I have a pond in the backyard that at one point it only had about 12 fish. That's what I remember. And then all of a sudden I look out there and there's like 25. I'm like, maybe I'm not feeding them enough. Maybe should add, I thought there was only 12. That might not be enough food to go around.
They're doing fine though. They're breeding.
Yeah.
That fish is just one fish. I think he hates us.
He hates you?
We've never bonded.
How do you bond with a fish anyway?
I don't know.
Do you just get up next to the glass?
I name it.
What'd you name it?
Whatever I see when I get it. So this one is Cupcake.
Is it a goldfish?
No, it's a betta fish.
The one that has to be in a jar all by itself?
Yeah, we got him in a big tank, so he's big. And then a snail. We got a snail friend for him,
uh-huh.
But he hates the snail. So
who doesn't hate the snail?
I don't know.
Nobody likes a snail, Trevor.
I want a puppy. I want a puppy so bad.
But and why won't you get a puppy?
Because I travel too much.
Isn't there somebody home?
No.
Oh.
Puppies are like kids. You got to put them in a crate, and you can't leave them all day. Well, you don't put kids in a crate, but
I've been having that same conversation at home too because my dog of 16 years died back in May.
What kind of dog was it?
American Eskimo. I had Samoyeds before that.
Nice.
American Eskimo.
Wow, 16
which
years.
Is,
you did good.
That's my dogs. See, that's what.
Mm-hmm.
I had the tattoo of the dogs. That was all three of my.
Oh, that's a great tattoo.
And I've lost them all. But now they're looking down on me.
From your arm.
Yeah.
From the loving arms of your loving arms.
From my loving arms. But I said, we should get a new dog. And she's like, you're never home. I'm not doing this alone.
Yeah, that's what are you going to do? We got to train it. And it takes two people to train it. You can't just have one person. But it'd be nice to have somebody that could just.
Love you unconditionally?
Mm-hmm. Or like, I wish you could take a dog with you everywhere. But without all the hassle.
You mean like Paris Hilton?
No, more like
like a service dog?
Yes! Yeah! Like, just tell people it's my emotional dog. I need it. And well, what happened? Well, you don't want to know. I mean, just never really allude to what happened, but I need the dog. It doesn't even have to be like a tough dog. But
what do you think about the people that have like emotional pigs and emotional turkeys? Like, that was somebody actually did a turkey I read not long ago.
I mean, they need something, but I don't think a pig or a turkey is it.
More in pill form?
Pills, talk to some, a hug.
A hug.
A really strong hug.
Maybe these dog arms should
some
just.
Loving dog
loving
arms.
Loving dog arms.
Yeah.
I should start a loving dog arms
you could,
company.
A charity for crazy people.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Yeah. All you need is some love pigs. Off these dog arms.
Fucking turkey? What are you going
to
do?
Well, I thought maybe they were just using an excuse to get at home to cook it. You know,
it's my emotional support turkey.
Yeah.
And sitting with me in first class.
Could you please keep that down?
It's just
if the mask falls from the ceiling, please paste the mask on the turkey first. And then...
He's pecking at the ashtray. Stop, it's an old plane!
It's an old plane. Do you remember one of the first bits that you ever did? Like,
yeah.
Do you... What was it?
I remember one of the first closers I ever did. Well, okay, one of the first bits I ever did. This was in 2000. So this was 16 years ago. There was a show on TV called Battle of the Child Geniuses.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote a bit about what if there was a show, Battle of the Southern Child Geniuses, where they were just little stupid redneck kids.
Uh-huh.
They lived in Amarillo at the time. And it was never a really good joke. Never good. But that was where it all began.
Do you have that on tape somewhere that you like to go back to?
I have my first set on tape, and I recorded over it with American Idol Season 1.
That's how bad you hated it, or you just forgotten?
I totally forgot, and I was super into American Idol, and I was like, "That's Kelly Clarkson. She worked at a comedy club.
Yeah,
she was. Hyam is in Arlington.
Yeah,
and so
that's where I actually met
him. Big deal.
You know who else was a waitress in a comedy club?
Me. No.
Were you?
Besides,
that's true too. And now I can't. Dina Carter. Do you remember the country singer Dina Carter? Mm-hmm. Did I shave my back for this?
Did I shave my legs for this? Yeah my back.
No, sorry, that was Cletus T. Judd. That's who actually did a parody of that. But Strawberry Wine on it.
Yeah.
She was a waitress at the comedy club in Nashville.
Okay. Huh. Comedy club waitresses. Yeah, Kelly Clarkson was...
Gives you hope.
It sure does. Maybe someday I can shave my legs.
And wear a tie.
I need to do it. Damn it.
Shave your legs. Have it woven into a tie.
This is made with leg hair. Authentic lesbian leg hair tie.
No, you may not touch it.
That's my mullet. Tied on top. Loose in the back.
Yeah. Now, what type of mullet would you go for?
I wanted like the Mel Gibson from Lethal Weapon.
Oh, the little poofy in the back.
Yeah.
Not so the Billy Ray, sure.
That's what I would grow, though. I have really straight... And I think Ellen had this mullet for a while. Uh-huh. She had bangs, and it just kind of the... Yeah.
Yeah. I opened for Ellen a couple of times back in the day of stand... When it was before... Her just stand-up days, just comedy club. And we were doing a show in Boulder, Colorado together. And I was middling for her and had a great... If it had been an electric guitar, I could have thrown it down like Hendrix. Thank you! Good night! And she walks past me. She goes, oh, great. Get them just where I need them.
How'd she do?
She did all right. She did. You know what I mean? But you know, I mean, they came to see her.
Right.
But at that point, when the energy is that
right,
good,
right.
You can't come out and look. I like to glue little wigs on flies.
Right. you can't just set a house on fire. Good night. Hi, buddy. How's it going? I'm Ellen.
Yeah.
Put the lighter back in your room.
Yeah. So she did good, you know. But I kind of felt it was like that old Jerry Lee Lewis thing.
Ellen has been a writer to this day. I'm not going to follow Stephen Crew.
We'll never work with him. We'll never appear on anything I've ever done again. Please have him banished from anything my show and network is involved in. Maybe that explains the downfall of my career.
You just did too good in front of Ellen. What are you going to do?
Don't you feel like, though, comedy, this industry is one of those things where the fastest runner doesn't always win the race?
Absolutely. I don't know why I have... I mean, we were talking about... Me and Ed, manager of the comedy club here last night, were talking about... We don't understand social media right now. Just you put two people, start at the same time, start at different levels even. And you never know who's going to rise to the top and who's going to peter out. And you go, well, man, I had my money on that guy. That guy's fucking great.
Yeah.
And the other guy, like, what did he do to get... here.
I believe it's just simply the hand of the God universe, whatever.
Loving arms of your dog.
Loving arms of the dog that comes down and just goes, it's your turn to be a star. Oh. I mean, because there's people that you know are not funnier than you that are doing better than you. And that's not
I don't
to
want
be,
to say it out loud, but yes!
Yes!
I'll scream it out loud.
Yes!
Why, God? No.
Yeah, but you know it's true, though.
Right, right.
And especially when you hear it after show after show after show, like, you know, I went to see such and such last night. You guys were so much better. Remember the guy just the other night?
Yeah, yeah.
Went to see such and such. I fell asleep. But you guys were so much better.
Yeah.
It's like, what causes? Is it your act that maybe something they go, you know what?
When that word, does God hate you? Is it?
Yes.
Because you say, you know, the loving hand of God saying, it is your time, my child.
Yeah.
Or is he just, no, no.
No.
Kristen, you stay here.
No, keep it down, girl. Keep it down.
I'm going to watch your cat video.
Speaking of which, go ahead and plug your cat video.
I have a cat video. That was great.
I kind of forgot this. I forgot we were doing this live. We got into boobies.
Not one heart. Okay. Nobody
Not
wants
one.
To see. No one wants to see old Kristen's titties today. Leave your titties in your top.
Oh.
No, I put out a cat video today for my Christmas song, Christmas mm-hmm. Kitty. I put out a Christmas album this year, and it's got three songs on it. It's a mini album, and one of them's about a farting reindeer, and one of them's about hating your family at Christmas, and the other one's just called Christmas Kitty. And so,
well, very nice.
And they're all available on the internet, and maybe the magic hand of God will reach down and say,
we can only hope.
Yeah.
Well, I retweeted your cat video.
Man, I sure did appreciate that too. Because then I looked on you on Twitter. I was like, you figured out this Twitter thing.
Well, I work Twitter really hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I have what? I think it's over 100,000, almost 106,000, mm-hmm. something like that. But
you retweeted it, and seriously, I looked at how many views I had. Not a single change. But still, I really appreciate
it.
Well,
no problem.
Yeah.
I'm glad I can
That's
help
not
them.
You. That's the hand of God.
That's the hand
that's
of God keeping you down.
Just keeping me down.
Keeping the whoa man down.
In the meantime, he said, you know what? Steve, more views for you. More views for Steve.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's the same thing. I don't understand because how can I, talking about social media, I've worked it, and the way you do social media is to follow back, a lot of follow back. Just
if somebody like, because
I ain't no follow back girl. And you build this audience, and you slow, and like, but all of a sudden you'll see somebody that's on TV, and you go look at their Twitter, and they've got 1,500 followers.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Wait. I don't understand this. How come people like my tweets, but they won't put me on TV? I don't understand.
Oh, that is weird. Yeah.
No
matter what angle you're on, there's some angle that you can't see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the same thing for me. I've got this, the viral video that sort of just blew up.
Yeah.
That's 8.7 million now on the...
By the way, I'm sorry, I just burped tacos over the table.
So. Oh, I thought it was your cologne.
No, last thing you want if you're a gay lady is a cologne called Taco Burps. It gives off the wrong impression. What does it smell? That's my taco.
It's Taco Burps by Kristen.
Taco Burps.
But you'll see those videos like that, and then other people will have them, and next thing you know, they're on Conan or on Late Night, and they go, tell us about what inspired your million
viral
views
video.
Yeah. And I'm like, people started writing me, oh, we'll see you on Conan. You'll be on Late Night soon. And I'm like, okay, nope. And then you see somebody else with a viral video with less views, and you're like, they're on Fox News talking about how their video was.
Yeah, that was God. Not now, Steve! You.
I have a plan for you.
And yet somehow he touched Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
In all the right spots.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a mystery.
Are you a Bieber fan?
I was when he was young. When he was little Bieber, I he was adorable. And then it's kind of like,
all tattered
you feel
up.
Like a family member. You're like, God, just get your shit together.
What is wrong?
You're making us look bad. Anybody that ever, like, I followed him on Twitter years ago, and now I feel bad. I haven't unfriended him, though.
So. I haven't unfriended him either. Now, here's the bad thing about Bieber, and I was doing this in my act, and sometimes I still do, but a lot of crowds don't get certain material, I feel, you know, and... this honest to God happened. I was driving in my car, and I listened to UK radio. I don't listen to American radio. Now, that's kind of weird.
That's smart.
But I listened to UK. And so they were playing this song, and I'd never heard it before. And I'm thinking, ooh, I sort of like this. And I picked up my phone and Shazammed and went, it's Bieber. I should kill myself. I had never heard the new stuff.
There's some talent. I mean, there's some talent. He's very talented.
Yeah, Sorry. It was a great song.
Yeah. I liked Baby Baby.
Did you?
Yeah. I still have it on a playlist. It makes me happy. I don't care. I'm going to grow my mullet, wear my leg hair tie, and listen to Baby
leg
Baby.
Leg hair tie. How did that go?
Which one?
Baby Baby.
Baby Baby.
Ooh, Baby Baby.
Baby
Baby.
That's
ooh,
it. That's,
baby,
I think
baby.
Those are all.
Yeah. As I recall, I remember seeing a kid's toothbrush that used to play that.
Yeah, we got those for all my nieces and nephews.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah, you have to brush until he's done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Baby, baby, ooh, baby. Nothing like having Bieber in your mouth and then spit.
That's what Selena Gomez said.
But seriously, folks. Now, you do a lot of music in your act.
I do. I do. That's relatively newish.
Is it?
The last 2-3 years? Yeah. I used to play just at the end. Just had like a few songs, original songs I wrote. And then as the years went by, I would have like two different schools. Like when I first started, it was all stand-up. And I started in the comic club. I started at, people were real big ball busters. So anybody that had anything, like... Kelly Moran played the piano.
Yeah.
Everybody gave him shit. Like, oh, you got your organ. Oh, what are you going to do? Oh, you're hacking organ. You know, and so I was like, okay, so don't play an instrument. Don't juggle. Don't do all the keep it real. And so the years go by, and I'm like, I love playing the guitar. So I kind of brought it in, but only at the end so I could be like, oh, no, I'm a comic. I just closed
with this.
Yeah. So
I can see that.
Closeted guitar player.
I had a band in high school. And I had a band when I was at the radio station. We had a radio station band. We used to open for a lot of country acts. But I never used the guitar on stage because I always thought in my head, you're a failed musician.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know what I mean? It's like...
To me, I was like, I'm a hacky comic.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't about... Yeah.
But you know the guy, some people I'm talking about? They're like, you really wanted to be a musician. And now this is what you're doing. And I always sort of saw it as that, but it never stopped me from doing song parodies a cappella.
You just wouldn't bring the guitar.
Wouldn't bring the guitar.
Which, what a new dimension it would have added.
Yeah, or air guitar.
Yeah, I saw somebody do it really well. I was working with J.R. Brow. This was
10
years ago. Yeah. And I was like, I love what you do. What how do you deal with people telling you you're like a hacky guitar comic? He goes, I don't give a shit about that. I was like... Tell me more about this not giving a shit about things.
Yeah, pays my bills.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, I don't know. It's just I really like to play, and then the more I put it in, the more I enjoyed it. And now I like it up there the whole time. You know, I don't have to sing the whole time, but I like just having it.
Do you feel like it's a barrier? Do you, in any way, shape, or form, do you feel like you use your guitar, you know what I'm saying, like a block thing?
I don't know. I don't know. I went so long without it. And I bought the little Martin.
Yeah, the little travel guitar.
Yeah. So I could throw it on my back and forget that it's there and have my hands free. So if I want it, it's there. And if I don't.
Joni Appleseed. Yeah.
Joni.
Just a little traveling with guitar on my back. Spreading jokes.
Joni Appleseed. That's terrible.
When your little leg hair tie. And
here comes Joni
Appleseed. there was a Johnny Appleseed song, wasn't there?
Yeah. Wait, was that it?
That was that. Here comes Peter
That's
Cottontail.
Peter Cottontail.
I think, yeah. Here comes Johnny Appleseed, hopping down the apple tree.
Yeah. How many roads must have been... That's
Johnny Dillon.
That's Joan Baez and Johnny Dillon. I don't know. I don't think it's a barrier. I don't know. Maybe you're making me think.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, because I see sometimes country singers, sometimes they don't even always play the guitar, but they'll just have it and lean on it, you know, strum a couple of chords and, you know. I saw Vince Neil years ago do a solo thing, and he made me really appreciate my guitar skills because I have lacking guitar skills.
Okay. I haven't heard you play yet.
I know my chords.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That's what I know. I can't pick. I know my... G, C, and D, and I know my bar chords. And when I had the band, our lead guitarist used to go, okay, here's what you need to do. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that. And so when I saw Vince Neil, he would have the guitar, and he would just power chord and then stop and sing. And then maybe pa, pa, pa. Just enough to...
Wow, I bet nobody noticed that.
Nobody, I don't think anybody...
You just assume he played the whole thing, because you don't think about how often a person plays.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, and I just noticed that's pretty cool because he's got the guitar.
He got like four chords on him.
Power chord every once in a while. And And I don't know if that was always what he does, but at that show, I'm just saying, because if Vince is listening.
Way to go, Vince.
Way to go, Vince.
Way to play that guitar.
Well, you know, in the day of this, you don't know who's going to end up hearing this. One of your friends.
Oh, don't worry.
Somewhere.
No, the hand of God right now is stopping. Like, somehow the internet stopped working during this.
Uh-huh. So. Completely.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, this is frozen. And I have it. No, look, that's frozen. Nobody knows a word.
Nobody can see anything.
Now, last night you came off stage and I heard you say, I think I'm going to shorten this song.
Yeah.
What was that about? Because I saw it getting good reaction, but
I like the song. I just feel like it's a... I'm doing a 15-minute set here, because, I mean, there's four of us, and we're all doing abbreviated sets, and I do the long version of the song in my hour.
Yeah.
And so there's plenty of time, and people get comfortable, and, I feel like songs you can do a whole thing. I feel like I'm going to shorten this one. It's the fairy tale song, and there's a Cinderella verse and then a Snow White verse. I think I'm just going to cut off the Snow White verse and do Cinderella, and that way, I don't know,
Leave them wanting more.
Yeah. Yeah, I just feel like in 15 minutes, a four-minute song is too long to expect them to sit there.
Mm-hmm.
And they are. I just...
Yeah, you're right. Now that you say it that way, 4 out of 15.
And one song.
That's,
but 4 out of 55.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Right.
So, yeah, I think I'm gonna... Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's your
exciting show. Yeah.
Do you have a bit that you cannot leave out of any show? Is there one joke or one bit that you go, I have to do this every show. This is required.
Right now, it's the Cinderella song because it's attached to my T-shirt sales.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's not really it means something to my heart. That means a lot to my wallet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to make money.
I have a joke that in 1979, because that's when I started showing my comedy age, from the very first time I went on stage... It's been with me. It's the one joke
gone
completely through. And I've started to see it. I've started to see my joke on T-shirts, like when you go to the Bahamas and stuff.
Yeah.
You know how you go, hey, I think I know that punchline. You've seen those kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, I think I know. And I've started to see it on stuff. And it dawned on me, I can't even get mad about it because it's one of those things, you always wonder, they start somewhere.
Right.
You know, one of those things.
You started it
somewhere, but now it's just been...
What's the joke?
It's better to have loved and lost and have to live with that bitch for the rest of my life.
Oh, yeah, it's a great line. Yeah.
Very first time I went on stage, 1970, October 70, because I was making fun
79?
Of...
79?
Yeah.
That's what you said?
I was making fun of my... And
37 years ago.
What?
I think I'm 36. I was born in 80. Yeah.
Wow.
37 years. Wow. And the joke finally got onto a Cozumel T-shirt.
Yeah.
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 You're right next to that apron that says, I'm shy, but I have a big dick.
Right
next
to
that.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Right next to, and there was another comic, his joke I saw was, and I wish I could remember his name. I feel bad about it, but I've always remembered his joke. If you don't like my attitude, quit talking to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's
perfect for a T-shirt.
Yeah. And I see it on a...
I wonder if he gets the credit for it, if somebody else does.
No. I remember seeing him do the joke way back in the early 80s, and always thought that was kind of, because he sold T-shirts of it.
Okay.
And that's why I was like, oh, see, I need one of those lines that... And that's one of the reasons I don't sell T-shirts, is I can't look at my act and say, I think this would make a great T-shirt. How did you decide... See, you're making the face right now.
How could you not see it? That's a profitable joke. That's perfect on a T-shirt.
But I
had somebody else call my T-shirt.
Did
though.
You?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's hard to look at your... It's hard to look at your own act and think... That's the perfect... That is the one
joke.
I tried,
yeah. I had a terrible T-shirt before this one. I mean, and it would not sell. And I was... I mean, it wasn't a great bit either, but I was like, that's...
That's the line right there. That's good.
What's going on with YouTube as well? This video. This is going to go... No. Yeah, I had a shirt that said, I'm on it like a bonnet.
On
it like a bonnet. It had a little Amish buggy on it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm on it like a bonnet. I was like, that's going to take off. People are going to say that to each other.
That's actually not a bad line, though.
Nobody
I'm
said
on it
to
like
each
a bonnet.
Yeah, you'd think.
That's like the gelling like Magellan.
That did much better than on it like a bonnet. I tried that for 2 or 3 years and then switched to the one I got now. But yeah, and even the line in the song, in the Cinderella song, which is drunk people lose shoes, which is made a T-shirt, and the T-shirt sells very well. But that line was going to be something else in the writing of the song. I was writing the song about Cinderella, being, drunk and falling down the stairs. And at the time, the Jersey Shore was really popular, and I was going to put in a line, that's what Snooki would do. And my wife was all like, that's too topical. It won't be timeless.
Last forever.
Yeah, you need a better line. I was like, yeah, like, what's a better line? She's like something like drunk people lose shoes. I was like, that's really good. Yeah, so anyway.
So you have to give credit where credit is due, and you have to give part of the money goes to her?
I mean, technically by California law, but I mean, there's so little going my way to her way.
Do you have one of those spouses that actually supports your comedy habit?
Yeah. She does a really good job supporting my comedy habit.
I know so many comics that have like wives that are lawyers or great jobs, and they're like, she doesn't travel with me because she makes all the money.
Yeah, you know? That's it.
I pay some bills.
I'm like a 16-year-old. I pay for my cell phone all by myself.
Yeah.
Steve, I pay for that
all by myself. Yeah, I'm not on a family plan.
I bought these shoes. Jealous.
God should have been keeping you down.
Don't buy
those shoes. Don't.
Stop making your leg hair into that tie. I do what I want.
You know, you probably could just get you an alpaca tie with the like a real fuzzy one and just say it.
It's not a lesbian leg hair tie. What is that material? Lesbian leg hair?
How long does it take to grow that?
I don't know.
Well, there's a cartoon. There's a cartoon for you. Lying out the door of a building and like...
Locks of lesbians.
For lesbians that can't grow that leg hair.
Locks of lesbians. I've been growing it out for years just to get some lesbian a tie.
How long does it have to be before you actually... Because I think it has to... Because somebody told me, like, you could...
Oh, yeah, like 12 inches or something,
you could cut
right?
your hair and donate it. And I'm like, I could cut my hair and no. That's what...
Yeah.
And it drives me crazy when people say... And my girlfriend says that we've had this discussion. It's just hair. It grows back.
I mean...
No, it doesn't. You know how long this... You know how long it actually takes to grow hair? Just because you cut it off doesn't mean it comes back.
I don't know.
Well, why am I talking to you about?
Yeah, I was going
to
say, it's just hair. You should...
But you've heard that. I'm sure. It grows back.
It does.
No matter what,
it just grows back.
But it doesn't...
Well, now I'm picturing you with all these fun hairs. Have you ever done that where you go online and you look at what you would look like with different hairstyles?
Where you can put your face on different...
Yeah. I want to see what you'd look like with, like, a bob or, like, a, I don't know, all kinds of haircuts.
Well, I did actually think of doing a shorter version of this at one point.
You could add some layers to it, like the Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
You'd be cute.
And have it, cut like...
Yeah. You could do it like an ombre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought about that. But
you
then
should.
The cowboys weren't willing to go for that. And my girlfriend actually told me, do not cut your hair. I go,
really?
Why? She goes, I like it. Do not cut your hair.
Okay, well, then you can't cut your hair.
See?
That's important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so... But then I had my mom say it.
Did you just say the cowboys wouldn't like it?
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Can you keep your hair a certain way because of what the cowboys will think?
Yeah, I guess so. I hadn't even thought about it.
Yeah, you just said it out loud.
I could not come out.
But honey, what are the cowboys?
What are the cowboys going to say?
God damn it, Steve McGraw.
I used to really like him until he got all Justin Bieber. Damn Duke boys. But you know what I'm saying? You couldn't come out with some kind of bobbed right at the chin.
You Yankee soccer mom, son of a bitch.
Yeah, what I mean? Yeah.
That's what they're going to say.
Yeah.
That's a good t-shirt. Yankee soccer mom, son of a bitch.
Yeah. This hair still bugs some people.
Yeah?
Yeah, I still get comments on Facebook and Twitter from people that are like, why don't you cut your hair? My 70s are over.
Haters going to hate. Haters going
to hate.
Yeah.
And a player's going to play.
Play, yeah.
But I do think that there's some jealousy in that because they wish they didn't have a career that forced them.
That I think that's true.
To conform.
I think a lot more people. I wish people could wear and dress and have their hair the way that they feel on the inside. So I think you'd see a lot more dudes, working in office jobs with that haircut.
Yeah.
I have a lesbian friend of mine that wears pantsuits, and she has long, beautiful hair. And she said, if I could, I would have really short hair and wear like jerseys and like crispy billed hats. I'm like, and you'd never think that she would want to look like that. I'm like, really? She goes, yeah, inside I'm really butch. I'm like, I would never know that about. I really want you to let it out. Just let, like, just, just be you. And she's like, nah, I can't. I got this office job. Like, wouldn't that, like, what if you were forced to not, to look like an office? What if you had to wear a tie ever, like a real tie, not a lesbian leg hair tie, but like a real.
Oh, I don't like know if I could do it.
You had your hair and you had to shave.
I had to go to a funeral not long ago and put on a suit and a tie, and the whole time you just do it, you know, like so, like this, like it's not.
I wouldn't.
You'd be all like, I have got my tie.
Oh, did someone die?
My chance to wear my lesbian leg hair tie.
I'm so upset. Worst day ever. My condolences.
But I hear what you're saying, because my girlfriend and I have talked about this too, because she loves pink, bright pink, everything pink.
Wow, okay.
And she goes, I would love to dye my hair pink, because you will see somebody out and say,
yeah.
And I go, why don't you? No, not with my job. You know, where I'm corporate, but it's in the handbook. You have to have naturally, you know. And so it's not just, it's everybody, I think, feels that way,
yeah.
That I wish something in here could come out a little more.
Why
you know?
Can't we just, wish that could happen.
But don't you feel like sometimes if you don't kind of control a little bit, there's chaos? Because, I mean, people, well, you should be free to do, and then freedom gets a little way out of hand.
Who am I to say? I can barely manage my own life. I'm not in charge of anybody else's. Yeah. I mean, honestly.
I feel that way a lot, too.
Yeah.
When you get out of bed at 3:30 in the afternoon, you're like, yeah, I'm glad other people are able to get up and go to work.
Yeah, you guys make the rules. You know, I'll do my part. I vote or whatnot. I mean, not whatnot. I vote. But at that, like, who's to say what's right or wrong for everybody? You know, I don't know. And I wish your girlfriend could have her pink hair.
Yeah.
You know? But at the same time, if I was going to have a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
I probably don't want my lawyer to have pink hair.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Even if she really wants to, because I think the judge might be biased against my pink-haired lawyer.
Right. And I have said the same thing about tattoos, even though I have a few. I think they should be kind of restricted to certain professions. I don't want a lawyer who has eat me on his knuckles, you know? I don't want a surgeon that actually has a teardrop for a friend he's lost.
Lonely teardrop.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to trust an accountant that has a neck tattoo.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that stereotyping? Probably.
Yeah, it depends on, I mean, if someone could turn their life around, you know. Because, I mean, I know I made a whole bunch of bad decisions. Thank God they weren't as permanent as a tattoo. But, yeah, still.
I think the poor decision with tattoos can be narrowed down to you picked it off a board.
I picked mine right out of a book. My friend was having a tattoo party. At a tattoo party. I was 19. And they're like, are you going to get one? I was like, I guess. So like,
what'd you get and where?
I got two within 2 weeks. And it was 19. I never got another one. So one of the first one I got is up here, and it's a Chinese symbol out of the book that was supposed to mean courage because I was nervous.
Right.
And then all these years later, I was in Okinawa 3 years ago, and the lady driving us around, I was wearing a tank top. She goes, oh, what does your tattoo mean? And I was like, oh, it means courage. She goes, I don't think it does, but let me look it up. And she like Googles the symbol, and she showed me on her phone, and it did not mean courage. It means American. Just simple little.
Yeah.
I would have never gotten American. I mean, not that I'm not patriotic, but I don't want American written in Chinese on my arm.
Now, I used to have a joke about this, and this is, I remember Divine, that the guy that dressed as a woman was in all the John Waters movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Divine.
Yeah, yeah.
I opened for Divine one time.
Okay.
And, not thinking about what the crowd would be, I said something about, you know, having tattoos, but I would never get one with Asian writing because I don't know what it says. I don't want a tattoo that might say, I like young yellow boys.
Right, right, right.
And I hear, wrong crowd.
Yeah.
So you have to know your crowd,
your audience,
and you have to know your material for them.
God, you got to know what you're
talking about. Because that's all I heard. That was it. Wrong crowd.
Wrong crowd. Jesus. I still wear a tank. I don't even know if I should get it covered up or removed. My second tattoo was much better. I got the the Cabbage Patch Dolls. How they all have that signature on their butt.
Uh-huh.
I have that signature on my butt. I thought it would be funny when I was 19, and it is.
And what has stopped you from more tattoos? Just the realization that you did those?
Kind of. Just
I don't make good tattoo choices.
Yeah, that there. It's kind of like the T-shirt. Like, I don't pick good T-shirt things. I don't pick good tattoos. And plus, you shouldn't say, why'd you get that tattoo? Oh, I thought it'd be funny. Like, that's probably not the best permanent decision
to
make.
Yeah, it's like the people that have a Bernie tattoo right now.
Whoops! It's coming back!
Wait, he's dead. Yeah. Next election, he'll be dead.
Yeah, more than likely. Yeah. Unless God just, bing!
Bing! I want you to be president. Bing.
And his Twitter followers blow up. Yeah. And then Hillary!
Do you have any bit that you're working on right now that you just think, oh, I've got to get this out? Do you have an idea that's just, like, in your head?
I was working on one this week. I got to do that one again about the bird tonight to get a better...
Yeah,
the tag that you gave me. But, I mean, that's it here in Vegas. We're going to have the bit about the guy who got mad at his wife, which I saw last time I was here. This couple was arguing through the lobby of the MGM Grand. And he got so mad that he took the bird off his shoulder, live bird, and just threw it at her. He said, you need to check your attitude. And the lady was like, what? And I was like, oh, my God. And the bird was like, check your attitude. So, and you gave me the tag for it. Like, yeah, he was mad. I don't know what they were fighting about, but he flicked her the bird.
I would have loved to see something like that, because you want to know how the bird actually reacts.
It was really sad, actually.
But did it bounce off of her? Did it kind of fly?
It kind of hit the floor, but not on its feet. And so you're like, oh, this guy's a dick. Like, it was kind of, it's like a...
What kind of bird?
It was a little like a parakeet bird.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it wasn't a talky bird, but, you know, in the joke. It's,
but he had it on, like, on his... Like,
yeah, he's just carrying it on his shoulder, walking through. And he actually takes it off with his fingers and throws it at
like, flicks it at like a booger.
Yeah, You check your attitude! Like, oh.
I always feel bad for
Maybe the bird's name was Your Attitude.
You need to check your attitude! Just pooped on me! Oh, there's nothing worse than
parrot.
Are you getting the... That much better? Oh, look at that. There you go.
Now we can get naked. That guy at the Hilton Grand was looking at me through his binoculars.
The binoculars? Yeah. Have you ever owned a bird yourself?
No, I'm not a bird person.
No?
No.
I thought a lot of kids went through the I want a parakeet stage.
I had a hamster.
Oh.
I had a hamster. I had actually three hamsters that I thought was one hamster because my parents are liars. Terrible liars.
They would just replace it when it died kind of thing?
And so when they finally were because I guess they just die all the time.
Yeah, they just randomly die.
Yeah.
They're like disposable pocket pets.
Yeah, well, I noticed that one of them, the very first one, his name was Fred. And I was very attached to Fred. Like, he would let me pick him up and stuff. And so then one day, Fred does not let me pick him up anymore. And he's just different. I was like,
just different.
Like, I could tell. But they didn't tell me that Fred had died and been replaced, which, you know, so I'm just like, is it me? Am I going nuts? Or have I done something to offend
him? He's running from me in the cage.
Yeah. Did I offend him? Like, we're friends or whatever. And so then that goes on. So then I'm like, I'm a little hurt that my hamster doesn't like me anymore. And then I let my friend hamster sit for me while I went to church camp. And when I came back, she was in tears. She said, "They got out of his cage and our cat ate it." And I was so mad at her. I was like, I'm not going to be her friend anymore.
No, that's Fred.
And that stupid cat. My parents were like, "You can't be mad at her. That wasn't even Fred. Fred had already died." And I was like, "You lied to me." And so I'm mad at her. I think that's why I'm gay.
You know what? You might have just... That was therapy.
That was it.
Do you feel like you've made a breakthrough?
I feel like, yeah, and now I can put that life behind me and move on. What are you doing? I think I can work your microphone now.
Yeah, I you might be able to touch something phallic and it will
bing.
No! I had hamsters in high school. I waited until I was in high school and got heavily into Habitrail. Remember the habit trail, the tubes and the sky things and the... I actually had one whole wall in my room.
Wow.
I probably had a couple hundred dollars worth of,
Where
if not more.
Parents?
They encouraged it.
Wow.
Because it was just this beautiful wall and I probably had,
what it must have
probably
smelled
10,
like.
10 hamsters or more.
God, and they would just mulch and...
Pee, hamster pee.
Oh, yeah. Just, oh.
Oh, yeah. And then something, they caught something and it ran through the, like disease, like wet tail. I think it was called wet tail.
Oh, wow.
Seriously, there's a bit. But like this one got died and sick, and then up here a little because they all lived in different little. They made their homes in different little.
How many did you have?
Probably about 10 or more.
Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah. Yeah. It was probably one of those houses where your friends came over. You're like, yeah, we have hamsters, but it doesn't even smell like a hamster. And your friend's like, yeah.
Well, I feel that way when people say they have cats. As soon as you walk in, you go, you have a cat, don't you? Why?
Can't even tell, can you?
No.
No. My eyes are burning. I can't breathe.
Oh, my God.
Well, when my girlfriend first brought her cat into the house, I thought, well, I'd had cats when I was a kid, but...
Yeah, grew up with cats, yeah.
Yeah, but I never really got near them a whole lot. They were just around. They lived in the backyard. Remember when animals stayed outside?
Ours did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the cat got into the house, and I woke up in the night. I couldn't breathe. I was stuffed up, and I thought, oh, I'm getting sick. And then I thought, I think it might be the cat. Google. And I looked up symptoms, and I seriously was like, oh. I had that, like... Am I gonna die? Because it just felt like it's getting.
Yeah, that's why we don't have a cat.
So one of y'all gets that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not me. Mm-mm. Nope. I would have probably two or three just to have something to talk to. Yeah, but I'm deprived of the gift of having my dream calico because she can't.
Well, you know, you actually get over it because I don't think she would.
She's like deathly allergic.
Really?
Yeah. It's. It's different. Like, if I wanted to kill her, I would just take her pillow and rub it on a cute cat. Good night.
She's that bad. Like the, like one of those movie Hitch where thing just starts to swell up.
Yeah, you just hear like, choo, like, and she'd be, oh, shucks.
The cat killer.
Hashtag Dateline.
Because I just took some Benadryl and felt better, and then I think the more it was around, you kind of build up an immunity. Maybe.
Yeah, I think that's a slight cat allergy.
Yeah. And now they...
Oh, wow.
I wake up. Seriously, you heard my bit. I wake up. They sleep. I've had them just sleeping on me.
Like, that's a dream. I would love to have cats just sleep. If I could have them, I love cats. I know. I'd be that lady. Just like, I have nine. 10's just too many.
You need that little action figure. You've seen the Cat Lady action figure?
No.
They actually have an action figure. It's a woman in a robe with like some curlers and a little scarf.
Does she have a mullet and a tie?
I think she has a mullet and a tie.
A robe and a tie and a mullet.
And her legs are really clean.
Set of golf clubs.
And she comes with all these cats and the little kit. There's all these cats around the top of the
packaging. Oh, you got stocking stuffer.
Yeah.
Yeah, last minute gift ideas.
Yeah, I think it was on Archie McVee website. Do you ever go on that?
No.
It's one of those.
They just got a plug, though.
Archie McVee website sells Crazy Cat Lady. They're the ones that have all that weird stuff like unicorn heads and you see all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And,
I love cats.
Now, do you do a YouTube channel?
I do. Yeah, it's youtube.com/KristenKeyComedy.
Uh-huh.
And it's got all kinds of videos on there.
What kind? Could you stand up? Or you like the, like the animated?
Yeah, I got some stand up, and then I did the Rudolph video we put on. I have a Lego stop motion channel as well. It's called Happy Go Bricks, just because I wanted something for my nephews to watch. So we've got a few videos on that. I put the Rudolph Don't Go video on there. But my... my YouTube channel has stand-up, and it's got some sketches, like the Cinderella and the Snow White song. Both have videos to go with it, so, like, short videos.
So you're not making videos on a regular basis for the channel, like some of the YouTubers or Vine people.
Right. You do one every single day.
Yeah, I try to do one every day.
I'm trying to do once a week, one video a week. And before I go to a city... I'll put out a video like something about that city.
Again, we're going to go back to, is God keeping down? I've been doing this video with Wrinkle Cheese with the girlfriend for this is like going on the second year. And we really kind of work hard at it and try to do some good videos and we do challenges and things. And then I will click on somebody else's video because it maybe has the same title, like Vlogmas. Vlogmas is very popular right now because everybody, it's Christmas time, you do these. So I clicked on somebody that had a Vlogmas. And it was one of the worst things I'd ever seen, and it had 7,000 views. So I clicked over to their channel, and their channel had like 500,000 subscribers. And you go, what?
I don't understand.
I don't understand what makes one take off, because this person was just, at least I have like vlogging equipment and I try and like, this person really was like.
I learned stop motion, Steve. I learned stop motion. And then I spent weeks and then editing, and there's a green screen. Yeah, like 500 views.
Yeah. So don't you, I mean, doesn't, what makes something take off? Like, I don't understand. Does it have to be picked up by something? Does somebody else have to say they like it, so you like it? Like, it's an influence thing?
I think. I don't know. There's this guy that I worked with. He opened for me in Wichita, and his name's Andrew Rose. Hey, Andrew, if you're watching, he put out a video on Facebook of him playing the guitar with no clothes on, right? And he's just playing, like, a cover song, you know? And I love you, Andrew. It's not great.
And he got, it's not great, Andrew. Sorry.
Well, he knows that. He got, like, thousands of views. So, should I take my pants off and do...
Stop action?
Stop. Stop motion. Stop pants. Let's just stop everything. I don't know.
Maybe you could build Lego pants and then slowly take them off and stop action. You know, like one square at a time.
I could do stop motion
like
stripping.
Yeah. Stop motion stripping.
Brilliant. Somebody write that down.
Timestamp.
Yeah.
4/18/12/2/2 Stop action stripping.
I shiver for a while.
People just be fast full.
It takes like 15 minutes.
15
to take
minutes.
My shirt off. One glove at a time. My tie.
You can leave your tie on. You can leave your tie on.
Stop motion stripping is the best thing ever. Oh, you know what's funny? We're going to talk about this.
Uh-huh.
And nothing's ever going to happen. Someone's going to make a goddamn video.
And then they
get a million,
and then million
by
hits, they end up on Conan, and we'll
God
go.
Goes, stop motion stripping.
I like that.
But God says to us,
Steve, Kristen,
no.
It is not yet your time.
It is not your time. What will be your next project? Have you already thought about this for your next stop action Lego?
The next Lego stop motion. The whole stop motion thing came about for the Rudolph Don't Go video. So now that that's complete, all the videos we do are going to be things we think of now. But there's one, there's a hot dog stand video that it's just a little short one. But I don't want to tell you how it ends.
Okay.
But it all takes place at the hot dog stand, my friend.
I want to show you something real quick. I'm going to take these headphones off. I'm going to show you something.
Take them off in stop motion.
Real quick. If it's close by here, I don't know if it is. There might be on the other side of my... Oh, no. I know this is a podcast, but they're watching live.
Take your time. I'll just sit here and...
Look at my butt. Okay, I bought these a while back. Open those up and take a look.
Oh, my God, are these finger puppets?
They're finger puppets.
Oh, my God, these are crocheted finger puppets.
Yes.
These are knitted finger puppets,
and
actually.
I bought them as a family, and I wanted to do...
Yeah.
See, it's a mom and dad, a daughter, and the pet. And
is that what this is? How did you get that from me?
That's just in my head.
Okay.
You know, my head. That's what these were going to be. And I did a few videos with them for Vine.
I got it as a lead singer in his backups.
See?
Brilliant.
I hadn't even thought of that one yet. This was these two in my head. These are mom and dad.
Wait, those two?
These are... Yeah. And the daughter.
Oh, and the dog.
And the dog, and the pet. And so I was doing some Vine videos with, and I only made like three or four of them. And then I thought, I kind of ran out of ideas. But hearing yours talk about stop action, it's always you could almost do anything with those puppets. And I knew it, but I haven't been able to do any.
That's how I feel about the Legos. When you start seeing, because there's so many characters, and my wife's obsessed with buying them.
Uh-huh.
So we have thousands of dollars worth of Legos now. And there's so many characters and so many scenes and so many buildings. It's like you really could. It's like a cartoon that takes...
Too much time.
Yeah, forever to make.
Yeah.
But then when it's done, you're like, oh, this is really going to pay off.
Yeah, and it doesn't. But they're... That's too much work in filming and editing to go, you know, mom and dad are talking, and then cut to the daughter, you know, and then...
Oh, then you get the one shot over the shoulder.
And then, and like, that's... God, this is work.
You'd get way more if you just put a phone right here. Yeah.
It just filmed it like that.
Shittily?
Uh-huh.
The shittier. Should we, do we swear on
yeah,
this?
It was fine. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know.
No, it's fine.
I have been.
Yeah, it's
I
fine.
Thought, maybe I should ask at the end.
No, it's a podcast. Yeah. But yeah, so that's that was my version of what I wanted to do with animation.
You know? Titties.
Oh, titties.
Oh. Don't touch the squeeze.
Oh, well, thanks for joining the podcast.
Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate it. Yeah. We do an hour. We just hit an hour. So didn't that go by when you're really just kind of talking and having fun? And
yeah.
Well, let everybody know how to find anything about you.
Go to www.kristinkey.com, and it's K-R-I-S-T-I-N-K-E-Y. Mm-hmm. And that will take you to a hub. It's called a hub, a website, if you will. And it'll take you anywhere you want to go. You can go to my Facebook, my YouTube, my Christmas videos on there. You got a link to buy my Christmas album. And then next year, first quarter, sometime in the spring, I've got a 15-track music comedy album coming out.
And you're on Twitter and bit of that.
I'm on all of it. Just waiting for God to touch me.
Just
touch me.
In the right place.
In the right place.
I mean, in the right way.
Yeah, I pray every night. Yeah. God, just touch me in that special place.
Please, God.
Just touch me. Just touch me.
Touch me, please. All right. Well, thanks for joining us here.
Thank you, Steve.
To people that listened, we do appreciate you. You know how to find me. I always just say Google Steve McGrew. That's just Google.
It's way shorter.
Yeah. Google Steve McGrew. And until next time, thanks for listening. God bless America. Go listen to some Oak Ridge Boys. I bid you adieu.